It is a great blessing and an honor that we have as God's children to gather together. We're thankful for the number of visitors that we have to also increase the number within our assembly. Last week we made a study about the matter of faith and its essentiality that God has required of us that faith be a motivating factor in our lives. Of necessity, it would also seem that we must also now look at works. Where do they fit within God's plan? Are they something that He desires? Is it something that we ought to consider? So therefore, this morning, as described in James chapter 2, so importantly seen that faith without works is dead. Now that very simple statement makes it necessary that if we have faith, then there also ought to follow works, or if we have faith and it is required, that there be something to follow it, because dead faith isn't a faith that is going to be pleasing to God. And so we want something that's living and active and working. And so faith must have a required following of work. We're going to examine a number of different ways as we think about faith and works being together. Faith within our New Testament is found in its various forms almost 280 times. We'd say that means faith is important, isn't it? If we can find faith, and that's not counting the word believe, but faith in faith, faithfulness, 280 times, the New Testament then stresses how important, how valuable, how essential it is then. But on the other side, 230 times, work is seen in its various forms as well in the New Testament. So it's almost an equal balance. So as much as we might stress faith, and we ought to, we need to stress also that faith must be put into action and it's got to work. So number one, as we think about the importance of work, first of all, we must see that God expects it. Work is expected of God's children. Look, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We find it is by grace we are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created in Christ unto good works. God expects us to be workers. Therefore, time and again throughout the New Testament, and as we sing, I want to be a worker for the Lord, Jesus described Himself in John 9:4 as one, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. God expected it of Jesus, didn't He? But He expects it of us as well when we call ourselves the faithful people. Those who are going to be followers of Christ necessarily have to be workers. It is expected of us. Look at the last part of Titus 2 and the beginning of Titus 3. Jesus has redeemed to Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Therefore, we are to be ready unto every good work. God expects it. God desires it. And we can't claim to have a faith that is pleasing to Him unless we do what He expects. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. God has expected works. But since He expects it, how do we explain it? In our world today, there is so much division about what is required. How does grace, faith, and works, how do all these things fit together? Well, we must go to the Scriptures and find out how does God explain the matter of work. Turn now, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. As Jesus is discussing various matters with the people that have gathered to Him, He says, then said they unto Him, that is the multitude to Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They have an earnest desire. They have a sincere desire. They want to be people who are doing what God says. So they come to the right source to have it explained to them, how can we please God? So the question is, what do we need to do so that we might work the works of God? Here is Jesus' answer in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that what? You might believe on the one whom He sent. So even faith is classified and explained as a work of God. Now, it isn't something that God does as a work, because faith is something that we do. But yet it is classified as a work of faith. Therefore, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it's further explained, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That is, it's not something that we devised, something that we invented, something we made up. What we want to do is, as God explains work, is that He says, here's what you need to do. Therefore, work is explained as something God requires. Therefore, someone in the pulpit or someone teaching religiously, they have no right to command somebody to do something, to tell something that you must do, except God has said so. Therefore, the warning that Peter gives in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. We have no right to either bind something that God has not bound or to loose something that God has not loosed. Therefore, the work that God explains here is that something that He desires of us. So from the matter that God expects it to the simple fact that God has explained it means then that we must make an examination. We must compare what we are doing to what God says is required. In Matthew chapter 7, the individuals came to Jesus and said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? In Thy name have we not cast out demons? In Thy name have we not done many wonderful works? There's no denying the fact that they made this claim. Here's what they said they have done, and even that they have done it by the authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ. But there needed to be an examination. Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That is, we must do the work that He wants us to do. Not simply just go out and do what we want to and claim religious authority. There has to be that examination of the work that we are involved in to see whether or not it is in harmony with the will of God. When you look at the seven churches of Asia described in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, to each one of them there is an introduction. I know thy works. You see, Jesus was making an examination. We are also, as we looked last week, as far as faith, let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith. Too often we want to simply just do something because that sounds like a great idea. But isn't it true that we ought to make an examination? That the work that we want to be involved in, the work that is going to last, the work that is going to have eternal consequences, is a work that God wants us to be involved in. What is the work? What are we to be doing? Those are serious questions that we've got to consider to make certain that what we do isn't just simply occupying time or keeping our hands busy, but it's actually doing something God wants us to do. So God expects work. God explains work. God is going to examine that work. But then next, our work must be exhibited. Now that sounds a little bit odd. that work is something that should be shown. But even in the case of the reading this morning in James chapter 2, I will show you my faith by my work. And he says, I don't have to go around bragging to you that I'm a Christian. I don't have to tell you how much faith that I possess. If it is true that I am faithful and that I am true as a Christian, then my work is going to be evident. It's going to be exhibited. It's going to be seen. Not because we're going around bragging about it, but because that's what we do. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus makes this true. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So it's going to be that as we walk as Christians, as we live a daily life as a child of God, as we go through working for God, because that's what we were created for, then we're going to bring honor and glory to our Father. Not because we're doing what we want to, not because we're living like we desire, but because we're truly a peculiar people, a holy nation, that royal priesthood. And therefore, our works are going to always be centered around glorifying God, doing what He desires. Therefore, they're going to be exhibited. This man, as they described in James chapter 2, you see a brother or sister naked and destitute of food. What are you going to do? Prayer's a good thing. But isn't it that faith ought to be put in action? Isn't there some work that we ought to be involved in? Because you see, down through this, he describes the demons. Oh, they believed and they trembled, but they didn't do any different. Then he describes too Abraham and Rahab. And he gives them as examples of good efforts, of where they did something working for God to accomplish, not for their own, though they were blessed, but to bring honor and glory to the Father in heaven. We need to have that type of a faith that is going to be put into action. But why would we do it? According to 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 and 6, Paul says, you have a labor of love. You have a work of faith. You have patience in hope. And so it's a labor of love. We like what we do. We love what we do. We enjoy what we do. And therefore, it's not a drudgery. It's not because we have to. It's not because we're forced to. But we're glad to be able to. Therefore, when we exhibit that, our faith is put into action. So let's take a pause just a minute and see whether that's true of us. Combining the matter of faith, God has spoken, to the matter of us working. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. There is no doubt that that verse is there. It's a matter of faith. It is stated by God, but do we put it into action? Do we live by that principle that we love to enjoy, we love to be with God's people? We want to be in that assembly where we can worship God. Second, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know that it is a matter of faith. It is simply stated. God wants us to be evangelistic people. Now, where is the work? Are we sitting back and waiting for someone else? Are we waiting for something else to occur? Or are we going to put it into effect? Are we going to enjoy doing what God desires of us to do? Those are two simple statements. The list could go on and on and on where there is a simple statement of faith of what God wants, but will we do it? In James chapter 4, verse 17 is a haunting passage. It is stated from the standpoint of life being short. But yet it says, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. That is, if we come to know that God requires something of us, that He desires of us a work, and we fail or we neglect or we procrastinate, whatever the excuse we might want to use, does it not then become to us a stumbling block in a matter of sin? Finally, there is in this study about work and faith. Faith can be extinguished, and so also can work. We can allow things to come and hinder. We can allow things to prevent us. What doth it profit? The question of James. If a man say he has faith and does not have works, within this building at various places there are fire extinguishers. We understand their purpose. They are to defeat. They are to stop. They are to keep from happening a fire. But aren't there not things that we will allow to stop us from working? Our religious world has come up with the idea there is nothing you can do to add one whit to your salvation. Reuel Shelley many years ago made famous a German phrase that was posted outside of the gas rooms at Auschwitz. And he took that to mean then we must apply it spiritually. Over this door was a phrase that read, "Work makes free." And he said that was a delusion that they gave to these people to get them in there, that if they work, they could make themselves free. And he then turned that around spiritually and said, we've got to defeat that idea. Because if there's grace, if there's faith, then somehow or another work is incompatible to it. But not as we've seen. God expects it of us. God demands it of us. Two verses in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. With many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Why would Peter, by inspiration, require these people to do something that was impossible? According to Paul in Philippians 2, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How is it possible for us to be required by God to do something that they say is an impossibility? Why? Because they want to extinguish work. They want to remove the human element somehow or another from responding to God. But in actuality, that verse that we begin with in Ephesians 2, verse 8, explains it simply. By grace are you saved. There is not a preacher alive who would deny God's grace. That marvelous factor that means that we can be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the verse doesn't stop there. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Therefore, God's part is the grace supplying what we cannot do. But then we must respond in that work of faith that those Jews questioned about in John 6, 28 and 29. This is the work of God that ye believe in Him. If faith is a work, then we can extinguish all works. Nothing then is required. Whatever one has to do in order to be saved, that's all that necessary. And that leads you to the idea of once saved, always saved. You can't do anything to be lost, therefore you can't do anything else to add to salvation either. And so our religious world works toward extinguishing work. But it can't be. It can't be done away with. In Revelation 14, 13, John in this vision was told by the Spirit, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that henceforth they may rest from their labors, their works. And that is, we can't even allow old age to extinguish our work. We get to the point in life that we think it's time to retire. Time to take things easy. Usually that means you're getting busier, more work to do. But quite often we think that we reach that point in life spiritually, that we can get to a point where we don't have to do any more work. But one of the great advantages of our older people is that they have time. They have freedom. They have the experience and the knowledge, and therefore they ought not allow that to stop them from even more serving within the kingdom of God. But we extinguish work in various ways. There is harmony within the Scriptures. There needs to be seen the great blessing of us working. Paul, as he gave the great lesson about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, discussed the matter of us putting on immortality, of us being made incorruptible, of us not allowing the sting of death to have victory over us. But notice how he closes out that chapter about the resurrection. We are to be working. We need to be those that are concerned about laboring. We're not to be those who give up and quit. Will we allow Satan to extinguish work? There's nothing for you to do. If you try, you're only going to fail. Why don't you just give up now? Why? Because God expects us to be workers. God expects us to be workers because heaven awaits. Work isn't a four-letter word from the standpoint of the Scriptures. Work is something that God has always desired of man. Garden of Eden, He put them to work. The Israelites, He put them to work. Christians, He puts us to work. I want to be a worker for the Lord. May we look through His Scriptures and see what He desires of us, what is expected of us, what it is that we might do in order to be pleasing to Him. Imagine for a moment that as you get up in the morning and you go to work, you do just whatever you want to do. You arrive 2 hours late. There, 15 minutes, you decide you're going to take lunch. You come back from lunch and you don't do any of the work that's expected of you. And yet at the end of the week, you still desire that paycheck. More than likely, you're not going to be there to receive that check. Why? Because you haven't done anything that is expected of you by that employer. God offers us heaven. That is the gift that He provides for us by being saved in Jesus Christ. This morning, what are you doing? When you think about the matter of faith and works, do you see how the Bible describes it? Do you see what the Bible desires of you? To become a Christian not only requires the faith that is called a work of God, but as you think about repentance, it would also be a work of God. Confession of Jesus Christ would be a work of God. Being baptized would be a work of God. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism are the things that God requires of an individual to become a Christian. But then we are raised to walk in a new life. A life that is devoted to working for God. Are we doing that as His children? Would today you be considered a faithful worker in the kingdom? Questions that we need to seriously ask. As James posed those questions in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. What faith do you possess? Is it obedient? If so, this morning you'll desire to become a Christian if you're not one now. If you have a faith that is dead, it's not going to accomplish much for you. You need to change that. We use the song as a way to encourage you. If you need to be obedient to our Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and sing.